Hopefully that works. This is Diane, and it is Tuesday, January 20th, and I am with the Tuesday at Noon group. I've got Liz and Teresa on with me so far. Hey, guys, how's everybody doing today?
Okay.
Thanks.
Great. Let's do a quick check-in and see how things have been going since our last call. Teresa, you want to jump in first?
Sure. So on the last call, we were talking about getting curious, and that I feel like that was a huge aha for me, and it has been really helpful when I've remembered to be curious the last 2 weeks. I haven't been perfect about it, but I have been trying more to really just kind of stop when my son, you know, starts overreacting or getting upset or acting out or whatever, to just kind of, you know, stop and kind of think about the context that we're in. And it's also helped me, too, I think, to make better choices about when to approach him about things. And my the thing that I was going to work on was to give him more choices, especially in terms of his medicine, like when he wanted it in the morning before school, and where he wears a patch, so where he wanted it placed. And so he has, that has helped. But then I've kind of, not so much in terms of giving him choices, but just in me kind of really stopping before I approach what I know is going to be a difficult subject with him, and kind of thinking, you know, is this the best time? Maybe I should wait. What would be a better time? You know, what would be the best approach? So we've had our ups and downs in the last 2 weeks, but that last phone call really, I have found personally to be really helpful to me.
Yeah. Well, that's great that you were able to try it. So a couple of questions come to mind. One is kind of what you said that when you remember, what do you notice is getting in the way?
Being human, just whether I'm, you know, because I have three other children as well. So sometimes things come up, and if I'm just in the middle of, you know, like everybody needing something, then I kind of react in the moment instead of being able to take that step back. Or if I'm tired, my husband was out of town for part of last week. And, you know, I guess maybe a little bit of the stress of, you know, being solely in charge of four kids, you know, for several days, some, you know, just a little added stress. But on the other hand, there were many times where I did feel myself, you know, be like, okay, now wait a minute, let me really think about, do I want to approach this right now, or, you know, let's give them some time and then, you know, try to bring it up in a more non-threatening, you know, or confrontational way.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was thinking more about kind of what gets in the way of being curious, but my guess is it's probably the same sort of thing. Is that right?
Time of day. Am I tired? Those kinds of things. But I'm really trying to keep myself accountable to that and to work on it. And I've talked to my husband about it, too, because I feel like that's an area we both need to work. So,
yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
him trying to say, okay, well, you need to hold me accountable, too. Like, if you see me start, like, instead of, you know, kind of taking that step back or, you know, just jumping right in and reacting instead of more being thoughtful, I guess, in responding. So,
yeah, so part of what you're doing is you're creating a new habit. So it's going to take a while to kind of get into the mode of it, and whether it's, you know, reminders around the house. I have a post-it note above my computer that says, be curious, to remind me to have that be my default. You know, so it's something to kind of make sure that you're helping yourself to take advantage of the habit. And then the other piece of it is to know that, you know, when we get triggered, it's really hard to start with curiosity, because we're right. You know, it's just not going to be a natural sort of thing. And so then that goes back to your trigger management, which is, you know, what do you, you know, is it the deep breath? Is it the water? Is it the timeout that you're taking? And then what you can use is that the perspective you can start back in with is the perspective of curiosity. And so if you can't come up with another perspective, it's like, how else do I want to look at this? Okay, I know I can always look at it with curiosity. That's always a perspective I can start with.
Right.
So that's another way to kind of get used to doing it. But you're building a muscle here, and it sounds like you're doing a great job, Teresa. So congratulations for that.
Thank you. I'm trying. I really, like I said, it was a huge aha, I think, to me. And I've seen when I do it, I just see the positive results. So, of course, then that makes it, you know, more easy for me to keep trying it when I see that, you know, it does work. And like I said, we had our ups and downs. It definitely was not a perfect 2 weeks, but I definitely see where it's helpful and positive. So
awesome. Liz, what about you? What have you been focused on the last couple weeks?
It's been challenging, but I wanted to thank you for this new tool of approaching things with curiosity, because it's really a win-win for everyone. And it's helped me take a step back and be open to getting more information about what's going on in situations, instead of, so that I can respond thoughtfully instead of reacting. And it's really been helpful, and I look forward to continue building this new muscle.
Yeah, so what are you noticing about how other people are responding to your curiosity?
I think my daughter appreciates that I'm asking questions in an open way rather than being accusatory or negative about a behavior. It's remaining neutral and open to hearing how she's feeling or what's triggering her behavior has really been helpful.
Well, and it sounds like she's hearing it as genuine curiosity rather than, you know, through the tone you're using is really engaging her rather than turning her off, which sometimes can happen.
Right, right. And we had a 504 meeting last week, and I could see where the associate principal's manner, how she was reacting to our daughter, was just really tearing her down. And since then, I've been trying to build her up and give her resources that make her more optimistic about her ability to succeed now in high school, and to not question that she can go to college, because the principal was kind of throwing that out there, that they're not going to accommodate you in college. They're not going to accommodate you in life. Why do we need to accommodate you now? And we ended up being successful in getting a 504 in place finally. But I see where we need to just continue giving her good information and supporting her.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard. There's always people out there that don't quite get it, and it's really hard to know when to jump in and add a layer of support and when not to, in terms of just kind of helping them, you know, your kids deal with people who don't get it. Did you try using the curiosity tool on the principal to try to figure out what's going on?
Well, I appreciated your resource online, the getting ready for school-based meetings.
Right.
That was really helpful. And then I also read a book about preparing for meetings by Amanda Morin, and I felt like that gave me a lot of perspective to see that, yes, the associate principal was trying to see if response to interventions was going to be enough. And that clearly it wasn't, so we could say, yes, we've tried it, and here's what's working, and can we collaborate to and brainstorm to see what kind of accommodations might work for both our daughter and for the teachers, where they can honor them without it being too onerous. And I think we came up with a good base to work from.
Wow, congratulations for that. That's awesome. I know that was your intention going in, and it sounds like you were able to accomplish it.
Yeah, and it was really helpful because I decided to bring my husband in on this meeting to be an advocate. And even though he agreed, since he has not studied the legalities of it as much, that he tried to be very open and respectful throughout the meeting. And I felt like having both parents there was much more powerful than when I just brought in an advocate from the local educational organization.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Great. All right. So where are you both going to take – oh, I see that somebody – oh, you know what? For some reason, this thing is muting everybody. I'm going to turn my mute off. Somebody joined us from 410.
Yes. That's Ellen. It's me.
Hey, Ellen.
Hello.
The new system, tell me it's you. I'm going to put your name in here. So,
Ellen Jarrett.
I see you. Okay, awesome. Hey, Ellen. We just are doing our check-in. Liz is sharing a little bit about her 504 meeting. So how have things been going for you over the last couple weeks?
Pretty difficult last 10 days. I think Austin was having a lot of issues with his depression medicine. It was making things a lot worse. So we're analyzing all the different medications again. And, you know, the interactions between the ADHD medicine and the depression medicine. And so just a lot going on. I saw that the thing was reaching out for help this week, and I was like, I've really been reaching out for help. To people I, you know, typically kind of am sort of quiet with. I needed the support both emotionally and just I feel like I've really kind of tackled it. Not tackled, I mean, the ADHD stuff never goes away, but I kind of, like, have a support group here, and I, you know, a lot of things, and I feel like the, from the other side of depression, there's, it's not so very well organized, and there's a lot of information, and it's very difficult to figure out what, you know, the steps to take. So he switched medications, and I'm hoping this next week is a lot better for him.
Yeah, well, and it's hard because, you know, this is something that you've been struggling with for a while, and so it's easy to kind of feel very disempowered because it's not something you can just jump in and fix or do anything about. It's you kind of get stuck on, okay, what do I do, and you want to act, and it makes it hard.
Yeah.
So did you try Curiosity? I'm curious about how that worked.
We've had a lot of good conversations, but, you know, I think he's just kind of feeling at the end of his rope, which is really hard. You know, he's struggling with how do I cope with this every day? I can't. So, but I do. I mean, I've been, you know, why are you thinking this way? And why, you know, how are you feeling about this? I've really tried to, you know, and of course he's at a stage of like, I don't know, it's just my brain, you know. But yeah, I'm really trying to be curious and ask questions and get him to talk about it because he has to, you know, he is better when he talks about it versus trying to keep it in.
Yeah. So just plant a seed. I don't know about your son, but I know that my kids, if I use the word why, it often comes off less curious and more confrontive. And so...
Okay.
I always try to use a different word. You know, what is it about that that's important to you? Or, you know, it's something that kind of phrases it so that it really does, instead of, because the word why, it's like, why did you do that? You know, it's kind of, it's a phrase we often use when we're frustrated. So just something to think about. But, and you're right. I mean, the scary thing about depression is a lot of times they don't know.
Exactly.
So, but it sounds like you're doing some stuff for yourself. You're finding some support locally. You're trying to keep the conversation going with him, which is a really critical sort of thing. All right, so let's take aim. So let's loop back through, make sure nobody else joined us and is still on mute. I don't know how that happened. So let's go back. Teresa, where do you want to take aim this week?
Well, my biggest concern, and I don't know if this is something I can use, but is how to help when my son and my husband get in the heat of the moment. And that's a huge issue in our family. And my husband, unfortunately, doesn't really believe in this, and so he doesn't participate in the calls. I always send him all the information. I, you know, send him the links to listen to the calls, but he really struggles with my son's ADHD. He struggles with his behaviors, and he is much more of a reactor than a responder, and a lot of times he escalates things because of the way he reacts to my son. And, for example, like last night, there's just this huge thing because my husband was watching television on the TV that we have the Xbox set up on, and my son wanted to watch Xbox, and my son approached in totally an inappropriate way, but then my husband just totally escalated the situation. And I often feel very caught in the middle and like a referee, and I don't know if this is something that you can help me with, but I just, what's the best way for me to handle that?
Okay. Well, I think that's a great place to take aim. So what you're doing specifically is figuring out how to help or how to even engage or not engage when your husband and your son get into kind of heated discussions.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right, Liz, what about you? Where are you taking aim?
I'm taking aim on giving my daughter positive feedback on how she's doing, looking for her success moments and recognizing them. And just giving her more information about ADHD services in college so she doesn't feel like that door is shut to her.
Yeah, so hang on a second. So I'm going to focus you in on the challenge rather than the solution, which the solution would be to, you know, give her more positive feedback. What's the problem you're trying to solve? What's the challenge itself?
I think the challenge is her self-esteem got really pummeled during that 504 meeting last week, and I think she needs building up again.
Okay, great. So the issue is how to build up some self-esteem after a pretty tough meeting last week.
Yes.
Great. All right, Ellen, what about you?
So I think I'm going to try to take aim on his self-confidence because I think it's affecting a lot of things. So that's the area I really feel like he and I need to concentrate and on this next couple weeks.
Can we get more specific? So is there one particular area where you feel like you have more leverage or more challenge?
I think just sort of a self-acceptance of who he is and what he likes to do and not worrying about how it fits into the world, but I guess it's a self-acceptance of yourself and finding happiness in those things that you about you.
Okay, so tell me, that feels a little bit like a solution.
Okay.
So what is the problem? What is the challenge that you're trying to address?
The challenge is right now he doesn't feel good about anything. He doesn't feel that he's kind of worthy or that he is good at anything or has any value in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, for when you're in a teenager, you're kind of going through that anyway, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He's particularly, you know, I think he's in a place where he's seeing people who kind of know what they want to do or they're really passionate about certain things, and he's feeling like he's not so, something's wrong with him.
Right. So helping him to get clear about his path, helping him to feel connected to his place in the world.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Can you feel the difference between the solution and the challenge?
Yeah.
The reason I did that, because I did it with a couple of you, is that a lot of times we jump to, okay, I'm gonna create a task list. I'm going to stay with my task list every day this week. Well, that's really the solution. And if we go back to the challenge, it'll help us to kind of open up and say, well, what are all the possible solutions and how do I fit in today's tool? Because today's tool might be a great solution as an alternative or as an adjunct to kind of what you're already thinking in terms of what you want to focus in on. So with that, let's jump to the workbook. And we are on chapter 10, section 10, asking for help. And so asking for help is a little bit of self-care, a little bit of systems and structures, actually. And there's lots of different ways that this plays out. But I'm going to start with a question. What is it that gets in the way for you guys in terms of asking for help?
Sometimes I think it's maybe feeling like other people may not really understand if they do not have the same experience or aren't dealing with the same issues. Like if they don't have a child that has ADHD, sometimes I feel like, well, I can't really talk to them because they don't. You know, what goes on with their kid is totally different because he doesn't have, you know, the same issues to struggle with. So sometimes I think it's like, you know, just either not being afraid, but being hesitant to share because you think someone won't understand, or, you know, just automatically, I guess, dismissing because, well, you know, they're not dealing with it, so they won't be able to help.
Got it. Got it. Okay. What else?
I think it's sometimes hard to ask for help because it opens you up. You have to, you know, you really have to. Some of these things are very difficult to talk about, and especially if it's somebody who doesn't have kids who are going through this, or and they don't really get it, and then you have to explain it, but you know, and then it's emotional.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, it took a lot. I know all, at least, I mean, this is with 90% of the people that are in our groups, it takes a lot of emotional energy to decide, I'm going to ask for help and I'm going to get help. And you want to ask in a way that you feel safe.
Right.
What else? Liz, do you want to add anything?
I liked this term in the first paragraph of supermom, super dad disease, and mm-hmm. I think I definitely suffer from that in feeling like I need to be the first person to jump into the middle of any challenge, and that it's just easier for me to do it than to try to bring everybody up to speed.
Right. Oh, yeah, because if it takes me 15 minutes to ask my, you know, to get my kid to do something for me, and I could do it in two, of course I'm not going to ask help. I'm going to, you know, it's human nature to just say, okay, fine, I'm just going to do it myself. And so that is a great example. And so part of this is about asking our kids for help and not doing it ourselves, or asking if we have a co-partner or a co-parent that works with us, you know, asking for help. I think part of it is about finding a team to support us. And so if it's about, I mean, you guys have a team here at Impact ADHD, and many of you have team members outside of this community where you're working with a tutor or a doctor or a therapist, and it's about knowing, you know, when to reach out, when to do yourself. And it can be a lot easier to try to do things on your own. And it also, for many of us, we get caught in our own perspective, and so there's a huge amount of value in bringing in outside support when you can. Now, but a couple of you mentioned this whole idea of other people not really understanding. And what I would say is that there are ways to ask for help without somebody having to understand kind of the ins and outs of the ADHD. And so it may be something as simple as, you know, finding, you know, I don't know if you do carpool, but, you know, finding a carpool so that you aren't having to, you know, deal with pickup every single day, or, you know, having somebody come over and arrange a play date for your kids so that you can, you know, take some pressure off yourself on a Saturday. You know, so it doesn't necessarily need to be help that understands and can step in and can give you advice as much as it can be just support. Help could be one of the things I did for myself in 2014 is that I decided that I was going to spend some money to get someone to help me clean my house because I was really struggling with, you know, my kids are both teenagers. They both have a hard time doing it on their own, and I want them to be able to, but I was tired of arguing with them. So I said, you know what, if once a month I had somebody come in and do it for us, it would be worth the, you know, $75, $100 to kind of, you know, not feel like I'm having a battle with my kid every Saturday. We can have a Saturday off once in a while. And that was a way that I asked for help. Asking for help, and that kind of, Teresa, this is making me, your comment made me think about this, is, you know, it might be that when you find yourself at the end of your rope, that you, if you do have another partner or parent in the house, that you can tag and say, hey, I need a time out. Can you jump in? That can be another way to ask for help. The other thing that I think that is really important here, especially because a lot of us have older kids, is about helping our kids to learn how to ask for help as well. And I've heard comments from a couple of you about the fact that your kids really do kind of understand where they need support. Having explicit conversations with them about what do you think you need and asking how can I help you instead of just jumping in and helping is a great way to kind of teach them to begin to ask for help and to model for them interdependence, which is a really valuable tool for all of us as humans, and especially for people who need an additional support in some aspect of your life. So if you know that, hey, I have a hard time remembering X, Y, and Z, so for example, I know that there are certain aspects of the structure that Elaine has more difficulty with than I do. And so I will, you know, she'll say, hey, can you remind me to blank? And it's like, okay, yeah, I don't mind because I, you know, and she's able to ask and I'm able to help. I don't need to understand her stuff to do that, but I can help her out. So it's, you know, it's about teaching our kids to ask for help. It's about asking for help with some of the logistical sorts of stuff of life, if we can. It's about asking for help when we are at the end of our rope. It's about asking our kids to help, and it's about continuing to seek support for ourselves. So that's my spiel about asking for help. What comes up for all of you guys?
So this is Ellen. You had one of the things you asked, why we sometimes don't ask for help. And I think sometimes because I don't want to be let down when I do, and then it does, then I don't get the help, you know. And I have this a lot with my kids and my husband. Like I'll say, I really need your help. I need you to do this, and then it doesn't happen, and then I get mad.
Right.
So sometimes I take it. Well, you know, it's better just to do. And it's because I am reaching out, and I'm like, you know, why aren't they helping? Why isn't it just so simple as to ask? You know, we're all part of this together.
Right, so it's the backlash of, okay, I asked for help and they aren't able to give it to me, then I feel like the victim because nobody's helping mom, right?
Yeah, yep.
So what if it became, I would really love some help instead of, I need your help or I have to have your help? How does that change it?
I feel like I've tried to do that as well, and that works for like, 2 weeks.
So let me be real clear here. So the reason we're doing this is not to try to get them to help you. It's to get you to respond differently if they don't deliver. Does that make sense?
Okay. Okay. Yes.
So if I say I would love to get some help and it doesn't happen, I'm differently disappointed than if I say I have to have help and then it does and I don't get it. Right?
Yeah.
So it's really just a mindset.
I still feel disappointed in either case.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And it's really hard. And when you get to a point where it's like you've asked for help 7 million times and you haven't gotten it, it's hard. And so one of the things I would suggest is if you start with modeling, if helping is a value, and I know that I've got a couple of clients who one of the number one family values they have is helping. And so they're volunteering and they're out there doing things in the community and they're always trying to help each other. But one of the ways that they did that was that the mom really led the way in terms of modeling help. And so if you use the word help a lot, how can I help you? I'm helping our neighbor to blah, blah, blah. And you just begin to model what helping looks like. It can be a step into having your kids really see what helping is, because I think a lot of times they don't realize that sometimes it's the little stuff and not the big stuff that's most important. And the other thing I would tell you is that sometimes we have to help our kids help us. And so it may not be realistic to to say, hey, honey, will you help me take out the trash when they're in the middle of playing Minecraft? You might need to say, hey, honey, I need you to help me with the trash in 10 minutes. And then 5 minutes later say, hey, dude, don't forget, in 5 minutes I need you to help me do the trash. And then when it's time to do the trash, I need to say, okay, buddy, take a break. Go do the trash now, please. And it may feel like more work, and you're also teaching them to learn to help in a different way. And I'm not sure if either of those resonate specifically. Thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like I do that with my kids a lot, that kind of warning. I probably, and I feel like I do that with my husband, but he's just not as receptive. Like, could you please do the dishes any time tonight?
Yeah. So what do you think's going on with it? You got curious. What do you think's going on?
I think he thinks that I'm trying to control the situation, and he wants to do it. He wants to totally control it. He doesn't like me to ask. He thinks by my saying I'm controlling it. And I'm like, I'm not going to troll. I'm trying to give you an option whenever you want to do it. But I still expect to get done at some point. I think it's definitely a control thing.
Yeah. So what would you be willing to let go of in order to get some help?
I don't. I try and said, you know, if this is not the thing you want to do, tell me what you want to do. Tell me how you're willing to help. What would you like to do around the house? I feel like I'm trying. I'm trying the different approaches. I'm not sure I'm getting anywhere, but...
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I had, so what I did, and this is only me and my kids, but, you know, I wrote down, because my kids were saying that they were doing more than I was. So at one point, I wrote down all the things that needed to be done and had a really long list. And I said, okay, everybody write your name next, and start by writing next, your name next to three things that you want to be responsible for. And then let's look and let's see from there. But, you know, it's like, I did give them a choice, and then it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to be in charge. You know, one of my kids said, okay, I'm going to feed the dogs. One, you know, so what would that mean? What would that be? And what would your job be? And what would you need from me to make sure that that happens? And so you're really explicit, not just that they're going to do it, but how they're going to do it and what help, if anything, that they need from you to make that happen. How does that resonate?
I think that works. I do think I kind of do that with my kids. Probably not enough, but I might need to put that in practice with my husband.
Yeah.
He has ADHD too, so, you know, I get it, but I also think he's 50.
Right. So I noticed somebody joined us about 10 minutes ago. I'm so sorry I didn't recognize that somebody was on. I got this new phone system. Who joined us?
It's Krista. I'm so sorry I was late. My son was going to outdoor school, and the bus hadn't taken, and I had to wait till it left before I could.
I'm sorry. Somehow it keeps putting everybody on mute. I don't want you to be muted. I want you all to be on Q&A. I don't know how to change it. Let's see. Interactive. All guests can talk. Okay, that should work. Okay. I think I just had the wrong setting on. So, Krista, we were talking about asking for help. I don't know if you – did we want to –
Yeah, I've been listening in, and I'm I apologize for being late, but I'm so glad I jumped on at this time because it could be a topic I might benefit from, most definitely.
The only other thing, totally unrelated, is sometimes when I do ask for help, I get so much advice of help that it's overwhelming. Well, you should go here and there. So you should, you know, so sometimes I feel like I have to not ask because I get so much advice of what help I can get that I just, it's like too much. Not the help, but the advice.
So you're talking about when you ask other people what to do to help the situation?
No, if I say I'm having an issue and, you know, what would they do, and they give you like a list of like 8,000 things that you should do to get help. It's so overwhelming, and then I get that from five different people. it's just too much information for me to deal with to get the help.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. And so it's like once you've got that, you know, what's the structure that you use to be able to go through and say, okay, I've got 10 options of what I could do. How do I figure out which is the right one? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So what do you find that typically works in terms of helping you to weed through a lot of different ideas?
I don't think I'm very good at it, so sometimes I just don't take any of it, or I go back to just doing it myself the way I just was planning to do it, which is not the right approach because then I'm still doing the same thing.
Right, right. So there's different ways you could approach it, and I don't know. So there's the left brain version, there's the right brain version. So the left brain version, for somebody who's a little bit more structured, might be to, you know, write down the ones that, you know, really resonate the most, and then do, you know, kind of a, well, what, you know, looking at them and kind of comparing them somehow to each other and seeing which one they, you know, might work, you know, might work for them and why. The right brain way to do it might be to go, okay, which one of those stood out for me the most? I'm going to just start and try that one. Or I'm going to, you know, write them all down and then come up with one my own, which would be much more creative, you know, that sort of thing. But so, there's different ways to do it, but the reality is that for most of us, we need some kind of structure, whether it's just I'm going to rely on my intuition to tell me that which one is the best one, or, I mean, I tell you, I'm a little bit more, maybe more woo-woo than some of the rest of you, but it's like I have a, we'll flip a coin. If we can't decide, we'll get a coin out and flip it and go, okay, heads we're doing this, tails we're doing that, and then let the coin decide, or, you know, sometimes the coin goes one way and you go, oh, wait, no, I really didn't want to do that. I wanted to do this instead. And so it really is a way to kind of let go of the overwhelm of making a decision or a choice and kind of letting go of that. So part of it, too, is managing your overwhelm generally. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed, it might not be the best time to make a decision about a list of stuff. So maybe you sleep on it and look at the list in the morning, or maybe you have a friend kind of look at the list with you to kind of help you manage the overwhelm with the list or the options, that sort of thing. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what else comes up for you guys around asking for help?
This is Krista. This getting my son on the bus today was probably one of the great accomplishments of my parenting, because he did not want to go to outdoor school at all, and we've been discussing it since September. And the good news is I have this women's group that meets once a month, and I asked them, and they gave me great advice, and I followed it, and it worked. But I think one of the struggles I have with asking for help is that I'm trying to protect Miles. Mm. And so what he struggles with, other kids don't. And so I often find myself, or I don't want my family to be judging him in a certain kind of way, or think less of him, or handicap him in a way. And so I find myself, you know, less so recently, but more so, less so certainly since you and I started coaching together, because I felt like I've come to terms with a lot of that was my own fears. But that is something that I often struggle with, and I think about asking for help is a little bit of a deterrent for me.
Yeah, well, and it kind of comes back, and I don't know whether you were on, we were talking a little bit about control, and you know, the question, there's two questions that come up for me. I'm going to ask all four of you guys to kind of think about this. It's like when you're in one of those situations where it's just so much easier to kind of stay in control than to let go of control and ask for help. The question, you know, to ask yourself is, you know, what is the cost of having to control everything? And what is the sustainability of trying to control everything? Because at some point, we're going to have to give up the reins. And I know for myself, it's like I had to control everybody's executive. I had to be executive function for everybody in my house. And at some point, it, for a long time it really worked, and then all of a sudden, you know, my husband got sober, my kids got older, and they all went, "Mom, we don't want you to be in charge of everything anymore. We want to do our own stuff. You got to let go a little bit. And, oh, by the way, you're completely stressed out, Mom." You know, so it's really important to look at the cost and the sustainability of kind of keeping it all in and keeping it in your control. And I think that sometimes that can free you up to go, okay, wait, maybe it would help to ask for help again and try again. And you might need to try more than once. I mean, the reality is that sometimes our kids, like I said before, need help to help us, or sometimes our spouses need help to help us. So we've got to find a way to ask that honors the way that their brain works. And it can be hard, no question.
Yeah.
So what does that resonate for you, Krista?
You know, I think there's a lot of it that resonates with me, is this idea of sort of controlling it and following through on my own decisions. I mean, I agreed to adopt a child on my own. So I don't know how to sometimes define on my own. You know, it's my choice. I made it. I have to be able to follow through on it. So as a single mom, I sometimes feel like, well, you signed up for this, versus some of my friends who are divorced and they didn't sign up for that. But the control part, I have really, as it relates to Miles helping, realize that if I ask him to do something, I have to let him have the freedom to choose the way he does it, as long as the end game is the same. You know, as long as he gets it there. And I try to be clear about what I need that and what that expectation is, you know, that we'll have the trash cans out by the side of the road before it gets dark. You could do that now, or you could do that later, but they will be out before it gets dark, you know.
Yeah.
And then then try to manage it to that.
Right. Right. So you're clear on your expectation, and then you let go of the how.
Yep.
But the piece that I would add to that, Krista, if I can, is what support do you need to make that happen?
Here's the challenge I have with that is there's typically two trash cans. And his thing is, well, let's do it together. And I think that's fine, but part of me is a little bit like, no, buddy, I need to know you can hold this. Do you know, like, I want to help, and I always want to do it together, and I want to be supportive. But his way of doing that is always like, oh, well, let's set the table together. How about we do the dishes together, which is a stepping stone towards that, but I've never been able to get past that.
Well, and so maybe even, and that's good feedback for me, is kind of like the language that you choose in doing that is that, you know, and what do you need to make sure that that will happen?
Okay.
You know, which is not, I'm going to help you. Do you need me to remind you? Are you going to write yourself a note? Are you going to do it when there's a break in your favorite show tonight? What is it that's going to be your trigger in order to make it happen?
Okay. So I need to try to adjust the language a little.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on asking for help from anybody? Teresa, I want to go back to you and your husband, how to help when your husband and your son are getting into a heated conversation. What comes up for you as you're listening to, you know, this tip of asking for help?
Well, a little bit the talking about control, because maybe in some ways I feel like I need to control that relationship.
Mm.
And, I mean, obviously I can't because I'm not part of it, but, I mean, it does affect me and it does affect our family. though I think I have been better. They're working with a psychologist right now, and I feel like I have been better about stepping back and just saying, you know, okay, I found this person, I set them up with her, now I need to step back because it's not, I can't control it, nothing about that is under my control, I have to let them work it out. But in the heat of the moment, when they're having a confrontation and it is kind of affecting everyone, and also inevitably my son will come to me and say, Mom, talk to Dad, or less often, but sometimes does happen, my husband will come to me and want me to, you know, intervene. And it's hard because they need to figure it out themselves. I totally understand that, and I totally get that. But then sometimes I feel like last night when my son came to me and was like, Dad's totally out of control, Mom. You need to talk to him. And I feel like, well, okay, but you need, you know, and I told him, I said, stop and take some deep breaths and let's go back to the beginning and how did this all start? Think about how you approached him. You know, sometimes I feel like they need that help from the outsider, but I don't know. Like, as I sit here and I feel like maybe what I really need to do is just stop, total, just every time say, this is between you two and you, you know, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to control it, but I see how my son is hurt and he's not necessarily taking ownership of his responsibility for that, but he is really hurting because it affects his relationship with my husband, and I feel like my husband doesn't see how my son in some ways is like crying out for his attention and for his love and acceptance.
Yeah, so there's two things that kind of come up for me as you're saying that. One is you're getting some support. They're getting some support together, and they're working with this third party to kind of work through stuff. The first thing is kind of, I don't know what the quote is, but it's something like, it's only help if they find it helpful. And so one of the things that you probably want to do is when you're outside of the, you know, intensity of a challenging situation like that, have a conversation with your husband, have a conversation with your son, and say, what would you like me to do when I come in and see you guys in such a heated conversation? It's really difficult for me, number one, to be there, and number two, to know what to do and see what their thoughts are. That would be one thing that kind of comes up for me. The other thing is, you know, is there a house rule around how you treat each other? That is just kind of like whenever anybody gets heated, anybody can say, hey, we're calling a timeout, temperature's rising in the family, let's come back in 10 minutes. And so, you know, then it becomes fair game that if you hear them getting really heated with each other, or if they hear you getting really heated or whatever else, everybody has the ability to say, hey, this is, we got to take a timeout. Everybody's getting a little intense right now.
Right.
And that may be something that the therapist.
Several sessions ago, and we did sit down and make rules, and we tried the code word, and it just doesn't, neither one of them wants to back down. So I haven't found that helpful. But I do think, you know, it makes sense to, you know, out now, maybe later today or tomorrow, I could sit down with both of them and say, okay, you know, when you're in a situation like that, you know, is it even helpful for me to intervene? What do you want to do? Maybe come up with a plan.
Nobody wants to be told that they're getting triggered. It doesn't feel good. Unless you really understand that you're being triggered and it's not helping. I mean, when you're toe-to-toe with somebody, a third person coming in and saying, please back down, you're going to yell at them too. I mean, that's pretty normal human reaction. So, all right. So I'm going to shift gears and take us back to our four questions. Does that help you to move forward a little bit?
Yes, that's very helpful. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So we're on page 38, wrapping up. So four questions. What did I focus on? What did I pay most attention to today? The second is, what's my clarity or takeaway? The third is, what's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action? I would love to hear from you guys what you paid attention to in the call and what you're going to do with it.
So this is Ellen. My takeaway is, when I ask for help, when I get responses, if I'm overwhelmed by all the is really to sit down and kind of write down some different thoughts so that I can really analyze and then make a decision, versus just getting overwhelmed and not doing anything with all the information.
Right.
The second is really sitting down with my son, because he does ask for help, but when it's like at a crisis, and he feels like he's asking for help and that he's burdening those of us he's asking for help from in a way. And I just keep, I think same thing, kind of just keep reminding him it's okay to help. Ask for help 8,000 times. There's never too many times.
Great. Okay. Hello.
Hi, this is Krista. I think the thing I'm going to work on is that the question that I follow up with Miles in terms of, how can I support you in being successful in doing this? And make sure that sort of I still have him hold the responsibility, but I am being supportive of him in ways that is not doing it for him.
Great. All right. Liz?
I'm going to continue focusing on helping my daughter build up her self-esteem, and I think using a takeaway from today's session, to engage her and ask her, what can we do to make you feel better about how you're performing at home and school and how we can support you.
Yeah, so I guess I'm wondering whether if you start with that or if you start with how are you feeling about what happened in that meeting, and try to find out, does she feel as bad as you worry that she does, or is she aware of her, is she even aware of how she feels about it?
I think she's very, very aware. She's really questioning if she can go on to college at this point.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, Teresa, what about you?
So what we just talked about, I think I am going to, be curious to carry that over, but I'm going to try to talk to them about, what do you want me to do when that happens? What would be helpful, and kind of get their input, and then do that in hope that we see some progress, because maybe even through that conversation, it will help them too. I don't know, but that's kind of what I feel I need to do with that.
Okay. Great. All right, guys. Good call today. Thanks for being with us. Our next call is, let me see here. 1, 2, on the 3rd of February. Can't believe we're already in February. All right, we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks.